People are attracted to authenticity. When you are your authentic self, you are more compelling. So don't try to be somebody else. You know, try to be the strongest version of who you are. Make it clear to your superiors that, you know, you seek challenges to develop your skills and to contribute to the organization.
That's Amy Cuddy, body language expert best known for her 2012 TED Talk on power posing. Her video received over 50 million views and became the second most popular TED Talk in history. Earlier this year, we interviewed Cuddy for She Innovates, and today we're going to revisit three of our top episodes to identify the best career advice shared on She Innovates in 2018. I'm Michelle King, and you are listening to She Innovates. It's a show that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women and men across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. We're now at the end of the year, and this is our last episode for 2018 until we start back up in early January. We're really thankful for all the support from our listeners, which is why we wanted to do something a little bit special on today's episode. We're going to be sharing with you three of our top She Innovates episodes for 2018 and unpack the career advice that you can apply at work or share with other women to help them advance. So to kick this episode off, we're going to be starting with professor and researcher from Harvard, Amy Cuddy. I really enjoyed my interview with Cuddy earlier this year. Her research focuses on the link between confidence, competence, and body language. And she's got some great advice when it comes to how to be more confident at work, which is something that a lot of us struggle with. Cuddy believes in a body-mind connection, as her research shows that by changing the way you carry yourself physically, you can actually start to change the way you feel and think about yourself.
If you embody power by expanding, by stretching out and taking up space, which is exactly what all animals do. All species do this. When an individual has power, that individual stretches out, takes up more space, occupies maybe a higher point, you know, on the land, and humans do the same thing. So if you adopt those postures privately before you go into a challenging situation, not in front of people, because whether you're male or female, taking up too much space in front of other people does not go well. But if you prepare by opening up rather than sort of making yourself small and going into the fetal position, you will feel more powerful. People feel more powerful when they adopt powerful body language. And when we feel more powerful, you get a whole constellation of psychological and behavioral changes. And by powerful, I mean power to, not power over. So power to do things as opposed to power over other people. So this is not zero-sum power. But when you feel powerful, it activates what we call the behavioral approach system, which means that people are more likely to see the world as a place that's not threatening, but that's filled with opportunities. So challenges become opportunities rather than threats. People become potential allies and collaborators, not predators. We're more likely to take action, stand up for ourselves and for other people. All of these things change when we feel powerful. When we feel powerless, it activates the inhibition system. We shut down. We don't think creatively. We become pessimistic. We don't act on behalf of ourselves or others. You get these completely opposite sets of outcomes. So changing your body changes your mindset. And we know that when you change your mindset, you change your behavior, and changing your behavior ultimately changes your outcomes.
When it comes to confidence, Cuddy shared a really important difference between men and women at work.
There's no question, and the research on nonverbal behavior really clearly shows that men take up more physical space than women, not just because they're bigger, they expand more, they take longer strides. Men talk more than women. Despite the stereotype, men actually speak more than women do. So they're taking up more airtime, you know, space in that way. They speak more slowly than women. So in just about every way that you can imagine, men take up more space.
And this difference really matters because Cuddy's research shows a strong link between how confident you feel and how competent people think you are.
you know, the work on stereotype backlash and, you know, stereotypes of women as warm and incompetent, or if they're competent, they're not seen as warm. So much of that came out of the lab that I was trained in. But we always were measuring, you know, in many different cultures, perceptions of both confidence and competence, and they're extremely highly correlated. You know, they're nearly perfectly correlated, the perceptions of those things, not the actual traits themselves, but the perception of those traits. So if someone's seen as confident, they are seen as competent, right? If you manipulate a person's expressed confidence, people will infer that they are more competent. And if women are showing less confidence, people attribute that lack of expressed confidence to a lack of actual competence, when really it's about what women think they're allowed to do. It's about conforming to the stereotype of your group. Now, I should say, I think that we are seeing dramatic leaps forward right now. That's just in the last couple of years, in the last maybe, you know, 3 or 4 years. I think we see changes. I think we see a lot of people, you know, men included, embracing those changes. Anyone who has a daughter wants their daughter to feel that they can be as confident as their sons, right? They want their daughters to have every opportunity. So I think we're clearly not there yet, but we're definitely seeing progress, and that makes me hopeful.
The good news is that Cuddy's research shows by practicing power posing and taking up more physical space, you can actually start to feel more confident. Here she shares some more advice for how women can do this in an authentic way.
First, women who demonstrate, you know, warmth and confidence do avoid backlash, right? So this is true for everyone. The most important thing you can do to be admired and respected by your coworkers is to make sure that you are forming, you know, trusting relationships, right? So I say connect, then lead. Focus on warmth and connection before showing your strength and your competence. That doesn't mean that you should appear incompetent. But the problem is that people prioritize competence and strength over warmth when they're trying to figure out how to present themselves. And when we do that, before we've established that we're a trustworthy person, people find it hard to see the trustworthiness, right? So that's true for people across the board. So just keep in mind that it's always the connection. And being warm and trustworthy is not the same as being soft and incompetent. We conflate those things, but they are not the same. You know, there's no evidence that people who are nice are less competent. And yeah, being nice is not the same as being a pushover. People are attracted to authenticity. When you are your authentic self, you are more compelling. So don't try to be somebody else. You know, try to be the strongest version of who you are. Make it clear to your superiors that, you know, you seek challenges to develop your skills and to contribute to the organization. Any half-decent manager is going to say, great, I'm going to give you some challenges. And that gives you an opportunity to kind of show your chops. Keep in mind, too, that it's not competence, really, that people dislike. It's dominance. And dominance is generally a quality that doesn't come across well. Some people can get away with it, and especially people who have already acquired power. But it's not the same. So just as warmth is not the same as being a pushover, confidence is not the same as being dominant.
I absolutely love this interview with Cuddy, because practicing power posing is such a great career hack and something that everybody can do. Another TED Talk star that we featured earlier this year on the show is Justin Baldoni, the actor best known for his role on the TV show Jane the Virgin. Baldoni is a gender equality champion. In December 2017, he gave a TED Talk which reached over 2 million views and has started to challenge the way we think about what it means to be a man today. On She Innovates, we really try to share a diverse range of perspectives when it comes to champion gender equality at work. Men play a critical role in this, which is why Baldoni's advice on how men can support women to advance at work is so critical.
This issue is so important to me because I think that masculinity is one of the bigger problems that we haven't yet faced in our world. I mean, when I look at what's happening all over the world, I believe that one of the things we haven't addressed that is a root cause to so many of the hardships and the pain that billions of people are experiencing is masculinity and our unhealthy relationship with it, whether it's our quest for power and material gain, whether it's our inability to listen to hear the needs of our constituents and of the people that we represent, either in America or as kings and rulers of other parts of the world, whether it's as leaders of armies and militaries, or whether it's just as simple as men in families, husbands abusing wives, fathers abusing their children, men being emotionally abusive in the workplace, men not listening, men not giving equal opportunity, whatever it is, the boys' club and this idea that men are in power and that we live in this masculine age where we have to rule by force, I believe is such a massive problem in the world.
The aim of Baldoni's work is to start the conversation about how men can champion women at work and at home, because he believes this is at the heart of what it means to be a man. For Baldoni, this really starts with men acknowledging how they contribute to the problem of gender inequality.
There are so many women that have been waiting for men to stand up and be their allies, to use the male platform of privilege to be a voice for so many things, but really for the plight of women. And I think that you can't even have that conversation. You can't even begin to talk about gender equality unless you start to talk about the things that are wrong with masculinity. Because we have to first acknowledge that we are part of the problem, that we're not communicating effectively, and that we don't know how to express ourselves, and that we don't know how to have real, deep, meaningful conversations with other men.
Baldoni believes that all men can champion women at work by doing one really important thing.
I think the best thing men can do to stand up and champion women at work, first of all, is to listen. To admit that we don't know everything. To hear the stories of the women in their lives. At work, to hear the stories of the things that women are going through. To be an ally and to be a voice. If a woman is upset or complaining about being discriminated against or not having her ideas heard, I think it's so important for men to be willing to use their louder, more privileged voices that elicit responses to amplify the voice of the woman who's not being heard.
It's always so great to hear from men who are trying to champion women at work and in all areas of life, like Baldoni. Making an effort to listen to women in your workplace and ensure that you hear their challenges is really the first step in tackling them together. One of the ways to do this is to set up a reverse mentoring program. This is something that a lot of companies have started to do. It doesn't have to be formal. It's really just about leaders taking time out of their day to understand the challenges that minority groups face at work. This can be as simple as having a coffee or checking in with people on your team who may be different or maybe experience the organization in a different way. Understanding difference is something that all of us can try to do at work, which is why our final guest to be featured on this episode is global talent and diversity leader, Dr. Cindy Pace. Research has consistently shown that diverse leadership can yield high financial returns, but companies are still falling short in promoting women, particularly women of color, to senior leadership roles. Dr. Pace recently published an article on Harvard Business Review entitled How Women of Color Get to Senior Management.
For women of color, because of the combination of gender, race, and ethnicity of an underserved, or I would say underprivileged group, they face a double bind or a triple bind, if you will. You know, you've heard the term glass ceiling. For women of color, it's considered a concrete ceiling because you are left out of a lot of the influential networks that are open to other people because of homogeneous groups. So for women of color, I would use this as an example. When you're very visible, with women of color, they manage hypervisibility. That means they're constantly experiencing their difference. They're being reminded that they're different. They feel on display. And if you're one of the few women of color in your company, there are constantly things being said to you that kind of let you know that people either know when you're not there, they know when you're present. They're indicators that you're constantly being watched. So it's not a great feeling to feel that way. Women of color also cope with difficult emotions around trying to fit in. And it's hard to fit in when you don't necessarily know all the rules of the game. And maybe when people are uncomfortable with you being around.
Given the challenges that women of color face with hypervisibility, Dr. Pace wanted to research what women of color could do to overcome this issue. In her research, Pace identified four ways that women of color can advance at work. The first piece of advice that Dr. Pace has is to own your ambition.
Be comfortable with wanting power and influence. Ambition is not a dirty word. For some of us, depending on what the early messages were to you around being ambitious and how you were treated about being an achiever, really impacts how your relationship with power and influence later on. So number one, you have to not only be ambitious, you have to let people know what it is that you want to do. You know, one of the things that I've been working on in my organization about is, what is it that you want to build? So what is your vision? It's not about coming in and just taking a job, but once you get into that role, what is it that you want to do? How is it going to be better because of you? What are the contributions that you would like to make? So being very clear on the type of power and influence that you want to have in your aspirational role is number one, and not being afraid to say, I want it.
The second thing that Dr. Pace says women can do is to act on that ambition by seeking out opportunities to grow.
Confidently seize opportunities. And I will put the word confidently in front of it. Women in my study had a high degree of what we call self-efficacy, the belief that they could lead. And it has to start with you. If you don't believe that you can lead, no one else is going to believe in you. Confidently seizing opportunities means really not waiting. Not waiting till the job is posted. Going out there, having conversations with people around your aspirations. Again, what is it that you want to build? Where do you see that you can add value?
Seizing opportunities might mean stepping outside of your comfort zone, but Dr. Pace says this is often really worthwhile. In fact, her third piece of advice is to try and seek out opportunities that seem a little bit riskier.
Taking assignments that are high risk and highly visible assignments that are tough. And I know there's a lot of research out there about, you know, women and taking these turnaround projects. It can go either way. Should you do it? This is the way, in terms of the research that I did, that women put themselves on the map. That's how they became known. They took on something that was challenging to the organization. The organization needed someone to, you know, come in with fresh ideas, but also needed someone who had the confidence that they could address the problem. You need to be able to be someone who can manage people. And I'm talking not just manage great people, but you need to manage difficult situations with people and teams, being able to be a critical negotiator, try new things, be entrepreneurial, go into new business ventures, and to also be able to work with clients and stakeholders. These types of roles set you up to become leaders.
Dr. Pace says that the fourth critical element to succeeding at work is to have a mentor, advisor, or role model. These can include men as well as other women or women of color who can share their knowledge on how to navigate the organization to get ahead.
This is like a core piece of advice that we're constantly giving women, to cultivate influential mentors and sponsors. Sponsorship is the highest form of mentorship. If you go back and you research the origins of sponsorship, it is rooted in mentorship. What we've done in recent years is to separate them out, to basically say, if you were looking at it in terms of a continuum, that sponsorship is the highest form. When women of color are able in their organizations and outside of their organizations to cultivate relationships with mentors who are men, women of color, and women that can serve as advisors, role models, it provides them the tacit knowledge that they need to really navigate their organization. And that can be a game changer.
The thing that I loved most about this episode with Dr. Pace is her number one piece of career advice, which she says is to choose your organization wisely. Dr. Pei says that women of color could take her tips and advice and go into an organization which is not ready for them, and then they won't succeed. All women need to seek out organizations that have a real commitment to diversity and inclusion. Without this, no amount of effort on a woman's part will ever overcome the challenges at work. This is why it's so important to choose your employer wisely. I really hope that each of you found these episodes and advice as helpful as we did. You know, She Innovates is a podcast that's all about taking action to advance women and equality at work. And we really hope that by sharing how men and women are doing this, it will inspire each of you to do the same. On today's Very God Boss Insights, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not a massive fan of resolutions because I don't always think that people follow through on them. I also think that having goals you work towards all year round is much more meaningful. However, the new year does give us all the opportunity to pause and think about our careers and what we want to achieve in the year ahead. So to help all of you with that, we wanted to share three work resolutions that you might consider taking up in 2019. The first is to give a TED Talk. This is an 18-minute free-flowing talk on your area of expertise, which will push you to be a better storyteller. Each of us has an idea that we can share, and TED is a great way to do this. In fact, TEDx talks are something that anyone can do or get involved with supporting, so we really encourage each of you to consider this. The second is to help somebody else get ahead. This year, make it a goal to figure out how you can help amplify the voices of other people at work, especially those from marginalized communities. Each of us can help create an atmosphere where every voice is valued by supporting other people at work to achieve their career ambitions. The third resolution to consider taking up is to expand your social circle. Networks are critical to career success, and one of the easiest ways to broaden your social circle is to schedule regular conversations with people outside of your everyday work. Making this a habit is the easiest way to increase your social capital. These ideas are all great, but the one thing that I would like to add for listeners to think about is to fix something that is broken in your workplace. You know, it's easy to complain about inequality, but it's a lot harder to take action and fix it. Whether that's starting a new initiative or a program, all of us can play a role in shaping our work environment. So let's start by fixing things that don't work for everyone. I just want to thank all of you again for your incredible support this year. You know, we've got so many exciting things planned for 2019, and we can't wait to share these with each of you. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't subscribed to my newsletter, The Fix, I urge you all to sign up. Each week, you're going to receive exclusive insights from our episodes, as well as practical tips and inspiring content on how we can all advance women at work. I hope you all have a fantastic holiday break, and I really look forward to catching up with all of you again in the new year.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.